I want to ask you a question this morning. And I don't know if you ever feel this way, but maybe at some point in your life you have felt this way. Do you ever feel like everything is crashing down around you? You ever felt that way? You ever had a day or a series of days where you thought, wow, could it get any worse than it is right now? You know, I had a whole different sermon planned for today, and then events happen around us. Events happen around the world, and I think, okay, do we need to talk about that? Here we are dealing with COVID. Here we are dealing with all of these various variants that come out of COVID. Here we are with people that we love going into the hospital with COVID. And it just seems like things are crashing down around us when things like that happen. Here we are dealing with masks or no masks, vaccines or no vaccines. You know, here we are dealing with schools and what's the schools going to do and how am I going to handle what the school does or what the school doesn't do. We've got political fighting on all of this, and it's like everything's just tumbling down around. Do you ever feel that way? It's not just COVID. Everything that's been happening in Afghanistan over these last several days. Have you seen what's going on? And here we have our fellow citizens and we have other individuals, other residents of this globe who are in harm's way, who are in danger for their life. Our world seems like it's on the brink of disaster sometimes. And it just seems like, I don't know, does it seem like things are just crashing down around us? What about the economy? Have you noticed that things cost more than they did just a few months ago? Have you noticed that inflation is a real thing? Has that hit your bank account yet? Have you noticed that you don't have as much money in your bank account as you used to have because things are costing more and you can't afford the things maybe that you need to be able to afford? Are your own personal finances feel like things are crashing down around you? Maybe it's your health. Talking about things crashing down around you. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your children's health. You know, there's not much worse than when your health is bad than when your children's health is bad. And some of you have talked about, well, I reached a certain age, and once I reached that certain number, everything just seemed to start falling apart. Have you reached that age where you feel like everything just started to fall apart? Do you feel like you are falling apart? Speaking of falling apart, how's your car doing? You ever feel like your car's falling apart? I mean, you take it to the mechanic, you get one thing fixed, and you drive off and another light turns on. It's like, all right, great. What's going on? You know, things are falling apart. How are things at your house? You replaced any appliances lately? Fixed any leaking sinks lately? Does it ever feel like, you know, whatever it is, does it ever feel like things around us are just crashing down and falling apart? You ever feel like that in your relationships? Relationships that you have with your children, with your parents, with your spouse, with your siblings, with your friends, does it feel like things are just falling apart? I don't know if you've ever been at that place in your life. Perhaps you've been at that place in your life and you've worked out of it. No doubt, when we deal with the passing of loved ones and deal with death in our life, sometimes that can feel like things are crashing down around us. Somebody dies and we don't expect it. And then somebody else dies and we deal with back-to-back deaths in our life and we think, can it get any worse? I don't know if you've ever been there in your life, but I want you to think this morning, do you think the Apostle Paul ever felt like things were just crashing down around him? I mean, obviously, we're going to make a biblical application of this question this morning. So do you think that the Apostle Paul ever thought that things were just crashing down around him? I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. He goes out on his first missionary journey, and what happens to him on his first missionary journey? He's stoned and left for dead. Oh, great, these missionary journeys are wonderful. I want to go on another one. So he goes on a second missionary journey where he is persecuted by the mobs and is literally driven out of cities by people who want to persecute him and kill him. Okay, well, I First one didn't work out real well, and the second one's not so great. So I don't think I'm going to go on a third missionary journey, did he? Goes on a third missionary journey. Ends up in the city of Ephesus, where there's a riotous mob there in the city of Ephesus. He finally escaped from there, and he makes it to Jerusalem. Ha! Ah, the holy city. I finally made it to Jerusalem. I can deliver these gifts I've been collecting. And he gets there, and they arrest him. They throw him in prison. And that's going to be his lot for the rest of his life. He's in prison in Jerusalem. Why? Because he's been preaching about Jesus. But he's in danger in that prison. Can you imagine being in prison and being in danger in the prison in Jerusalem? So they take him by night to Caesarea, put him in prison over there, and they just throw him in prison for 2 years. Doesn't get a fair trial in Caesarea. You ever think that Paul thought things were crashing down around him? Where here's a man who's in prison off and on for the rest of his life. Here's a man that before all of that even happened, he was beaten by the Jews with 39 stripes, 5 different occasions. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being beaten with 39 lashes, 5 different times, thinking, this world is just crashing down around me. 3 times he was beaten by the Romans who used rods, and they didn't stop at 39. They kept going. Can you imagine being Paul? 3 times he was shipwrecked. He spent time lost at sea. Can you imagine Paul floating out there at sea, lost at sea, and just wondering, God, can it get any worse? I'm not telling you Paul thought that. I'm just putting our thoughts into his mind. Could it get any worse? He went hungry. He went poor. He was persecuted. All of that happened. Every bit of that happened before you ever get to Acts chapter 27. All of that transpired in his life. And so when we get to Acts chapter 27 and Paul is in another shipwreck, do you suppose Paul is thinking everything is crashing down around him? Could it get any worse? Look at Acts chapter 27. Turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 27. I want us to see what Paul is experiencing in Acts chapter 27. Could it get any worse? Acts chapter 27 in verse 4, as they were sailing, as they set sail, the Bible says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 4 that the winds were contrary. I want us to just step through some verses here and get the setting. What's going on here? They take Paul from Caesarea, and they take him from prison in Caesarea, and they are transporting him as a prisoner. He's not on a carnival cruise. He's not on a Caribbean cruise. He's not on a Norwegian cruise line. He's not cruising the Mediterranean, you know, like some of you have cruised the Mediterranean. You know, he's not cruising the Alaskan seacoast like some of you have cruised the Alaskan seacoast. He is a prisoner. He is being transported as a prisoner across the Mediterranean Sea to get to prison in Rome. Verse 4 says the winds were contrary. Verse 7 says that they sailed with difficulty for many days because the wind was not permitting them. Verse 8 says that they came along Crete and they passed by it, look at it, with difficulty. This isn't some joyous cruise. They passed it with difficulty. Verse 9 says that this time of year the sailing was dangerous. Would you like to be out on the sea at the time of year when sailing was dangerous? Verse 10, Paul told them that this voyage will end in disaster. Oh, wonderful. Isn't that a merry thought? Here's 276 souls on this ship. And oh, guess where we're going? We're going to Disney's private island. No, we're going to end this in disaster. Oh, lovely. Let's just keep going. Verse 11, Paul tells them, here's what the future is going to be. He tells them what the future is going to be. And after he tells them, verse 11, they were not persuaded. Can you imagine? He says, we're going to end in disaster. And they say, oh, we don't care. They were not persuaded in verse 11. And verse 12, they decided to follow the majority. Doesn't that just figure? Have you ever been there? You know better, but everybody else wants to go and do this. How does that ever work out? Does it work out to follow the majority? Young people, does it work out to follow what everybody else is doing? Where's that going to end? Disaster. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Verse 14. In verse 14, as they're going along on the sea, not long after, a tempestuous headwind. The word for tempestuous there, we have the English word typhoon that comes from that word. This isn't just some little wind. A typhoon comes up on the sea, and they have a name for it. They have a name, the Yuroquillo. We're not the only ones who name our storms. We think, oh, we name our storms. They already were naming their storms. They had a name for this storm that came up. Verse 15, they're sailing along, but they were driven by the wind. Verse 16, they were having difficulty. See the word difficulty, verse 16, controlling the ship. Verse 17, they feared that they were going to run aground, and they were further driven by the wind. So sailing, you like to go where you want to go, but they're not going where they want to go. They're being driven where they don't want to go. Verse 18 says that they were violently tossed by the storm. Verse 20 says they hadn't seen the sun or the stars in many days. How would you like to be out on the ship? How would you like to be sailing and you don't know where you are? You can't get your bearings. Your GPS from the sun and the stars is not working. You have no clue where you are because you haven't seen the sun and the stars in days. Are you concerned? Do you feel like everything is crashing? Could it get any worse? God, of all the things, we don't even know where we are. We could be crashing into the coast of Africa for all we know. How would you like to be there? And some of you, not in a ship, but some of you have been on that life. You've been there in life. And you've thought, Lord, can it get any worse? Verse 20 says, no small storm was beating against them or assailing against them. Verse 21, Paul told them that they were experiencing disaster and loss, and no doubt they thought everything was crashing down around them. Things had been bad. Things were bad. Look in verse 26. In verse 26, it says, we must run aground. Oh, that just sounds great. A ship is not supposed to run aground, but we must run aground. Things were going to get worse. I want you to put yourself in their place. What are you thinking? I want you to put yourself in Paul's place. After all he's been through, what is he thinking? God, seriously? We're going to go through this again? You think everything's crashing down around you? Verse 20. Look in verse 20. In verse 20, it says that they had given up all hope that they would be saved. If they had still a little bit of hope that was left, they abandoned it. They had a little bit of hope that everything was going to be okay. They abandoned hope. Wouldn't that be a natural response to what was going on? They abandoned hope. No hope's left. And so in verse 22, Paul tells them, take heart. Take courage. They had abandoned hope. They were anxious in their souls without any courage in verse 22. And God told Paul in verse 24, Paul, don't be afraid. The word literally means stop being afraid, meaning he was. He was afraid. And God says, stop being afraid. What's your natural response to all that's going on? They lost hope. They lost courage. And they were afraid. Paul, what are you going to do? Are you finally going to turn on God and say, that's enough, God? I've tried this Christian thing and it ain't working out for me. I'm done. Does Paul check out? I want us to see in the heart of Paul what the heart of Paul did when everything was crashing down around him. And every statement we put up here this morning is going to start with the word I. And partly because Paul uses the word I, and so these are statements that Paul makes using the word I. But as we use the word I this morning, I want you to think, not Paul, I want you to think you. Can I make these statements? When everything, whatever it is that's happening in your life right now, when everything just seems to be crashing down around me, can I make these statements? Verse 25, what does Paul say? Paul says in verse 25, when everything's crashing down around me, I believe God. Think about that. Paul's talking to these individuals around the ship with him. He does not say, I believe in God. He does not say, I believe that there is a God. Both of those would be true, but that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, oh yeah, I think there's a God. It's not what he's talking about. He says, I believe God. I believe God, and one translation says, I believe God that it will be exactly as He told me. What did God tell Paul? everyone on this ship will be saved. God, it's not looking like everybody on this ship's going to be saved. Are you sure? Maybe I had some seaweed in my ear. Say that again. Everybody on this ship's going to be saved? I believe God. It will be exactly as He said it to me. Do we have that kind of confidence? Do we have that kind of confidence in our God? That no matter what is happening around us, we believe what God has told us. We have absolute confidence in His Word. We have absolute confidence in His promises, no matter what's happening. Can we stand there? I mean, it's easy for us to read about the Apostle Paul and say, yeah, that's what Paul was doing. And, you know, we put Paul way up here as the ultimate of all Christians, and but I can't reach that level. Yes, we can. Are we there? No matter what is crashing down around us, do we understand? I believe what God has said to me, and I have absolutely no reason in my life to stop believing. Isn't that what Journey told us to do? Journey told us, don't stop believing. Well, that's Paul. Paul says, I'm not going to stop believing. God said, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe God? He said that to you. No matter what's happening around you, do you believe God? That He is there no matter what's happening. Romans 8 and verse 28, God says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do you believe God? God says we can know that. Do you believe it? God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but what's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that which you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, He doesn't put a period there, that you may be able to bear it. Boy, people misuse this verse all the time. God wants to help us to bear through the temptation. He provides a way of escape, and He will not put more temptation on us than what we can bear, but He gives us the strength to bear through what we are dealing with. Do we believe God that He's going to take care of us? Paul said, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of everything crashing down around him, I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care if everything looks bad right now. I believe God. Brother and sister in Christ, can we say that? Can we, with confidence and assurance, say that? Number two is in verse 23. Verse 25, Paul says, he's telling these individuals, I believe God. But back up in verse 23, he talks about this God that he believes in. And he says in verse 23, I don't only believe in God, I belong to God, to whom I belong. Here was Paul, and he says, I believe God, and I belong to God, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Are we sometimes ashamed to claim allegiance to God? Are we sometimes ashamed to say, I belong to God? Paul wasn't. I wonder if these people say, oh, really? You belong to God? Yeah, if you belong to God, why is He letting all this bad stuff happen to you? Anybody ever said that to you? Paul, why is He letting all this bad stuff happen to you? I belong to Him. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to belong to Him because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep whatever I've committed unto Him, including me and my soul, until that day. Doesn't matter what's happening around us. Can we faithfully say, I don't belong to me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I've been bought at a price. And having been bought at a price, I don't belong to myself anymore. The blood of Jesus has purchased me, and I belong to God. I belong to Christ. I am His, and whatever happens around me, I know that He is going to take care of me. He is the refuge to which I run, and He is the refuge to which I have absolute trust. Look over really quick. We're going to come right back to Acts chapter 17 or Acts chapter 27. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Look at these verses real quick. You might want to underline this expression in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Here's the God to whom we belong. Things are crashing down around us. Here's Moses. Were things crashing down around Moses at this point? Well, he's getting ready to die. I mean, his last breath is just around the corner. But no matter what else is happening around us, no matter what others are doing to us, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26, Moses says, "There is no one like the God of Israel." Jeshurun is another word for Israel. There is no one like the God of Israel. You have a God, and there's nobody else like him. Now look at what he says your God does. There's no other God. Deuteronomy 33, 26. There's no one like the God of Israel who rides the heavens to help you. Is that not a vivid expression to describe to you what God does for you? He is the refuge to which I run because God is the one that is riding the heavens to come and help me. Verse 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Is there anything that the everlasting arms of God cannot take care of? Anything they cannot handle? He's the refuge to it. I belong to Him. He's the one that can take care of everything that's crashing down around me. In Psalm 57 and verse 1, the latter part of Psalm 57 and verse 1 says that in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Whatever's happening, whatever calamities are happening around you, put yourself under the wings of the Almighty God. I believe God. I belong to God. He's going to take care of me. Come back to Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. I not only belong to God, Paul says, to whom I belong and whom I serve. Paul says, here I am as a prisoner in the middle of this water in the ocean, and I'm still busying myself to serve God. The word serve, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, the word serve there is in the present tense in the Greek. Paul is not stopping his service to God. In the midst of being a prisoner, while even being in the midst of this storm with everything crashing down around him, Paul is not saying, well, I'm going to put my service to God kind of on hold for a little while until things get a little bit better in my life. Nope. Didn't put his service to God on hold. He says, whom I still and continually am serving. He busied himself in the service of God. Think about Paul here. Paul's relationship with God. Think about this. Paul's relationship with God was not about what I receive from God. That's not how he measured his relationship. Well, here's what God has done for me, and here's what God... Well, where's God? Why hasn't God done anything for me lately? Paul's relationship with God was not defined by what he saw God giving to him. Instead, he defined his relationship with God by what he could do for God. Is that a twist for us? Do we think that? That passage that we mentioned a while ago that Darren read this morning from Acts chapter 20, it's more blessed to give than we receive. We think about that in an earthly and a horizontal relationship, but what about with God? It's more blessed to give to God than to receive. Is that how I define my relationship with my God, that I want to serve Him? Joshua said, as Joshua was nearing the end of his life, Joshua told the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. They kept saying, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua's like, okay, guys, you got to make a choice. Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you want to serve the gods that were on the other side of the river, whom your father served, you want to serve those gods? You go and serve those gods. If you want to serve the gods in the land of the Amorites, where you are right now, okay, you serve those gods. There's gods over there, there's gods right here. But you know what Joshua said. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a lot of gods still around us today, aren't there? There's a lot of other gods that we could be serving today, and some folks around us are serving today. And God says to us, make your choice. Is your relationship with God more about what He can do for you or more about what you want to do for Him? Serving my God is done by serving others. How much am I serving other people? Jesus said, that's how I can measure how much I'm serving Him. Matthew 25 and verse 40, Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Not as much as you've done it unto the nice folks at church. Not as much as you've done it unto the rich folks at church who might turn around and do something nice for you. Not as much as you've done it unto those who are deserving at church. As much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Paul's in the midst of the world crashing down around him. And what does he say? I believe God. Do we say that? Things are falling down around him. What does he say? I belong to God. Things are not looking good for Paul. And he says, yep, they're not looking good. I busy myself. Doesn't matter what's happening around me. Circumstances don't determine this. I am still busy in serving the Lord. Look in verse 24. Everything's crashing down around Paul. And what does he say? I'm blessed. What? Paul, are you kidding me? What do you mean you're blessed? The Lord, he's told right there in verse 24, the Lord has granted to you. Some translations say, the Lord has graciously given to you those who are in your charge. Paul says, I'm blessed by God. Even when things are falling apart, yeah, even when things are falling apart, I'm blessed by God. Because I know, no matter what happens, I know that God hears and answers my prayers. I know it because He's told me that, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I know that God graciously gives me all things. I may not realize it at the moment. I may question it even at the moment. But Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, He who did not spare, think about this, Romans 8, 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. What does that mean? God gave the best of heaven. He did not even spare the best gift of heaven, His own Son. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not with Him also give us all things? If God gave the best of heaven and His Son, what else is there that He wouldn't give for us? Are we not blessed? Do we ever count how blessed we are, even in the midst of all that we endure in this life? Do we know how blessed we are? Over in Psalm 34, and we won't look at all of these verses, but over in Psalm 34, David wanted a reminder of how much God had blessed him. And it wasn't just that David realized how much he had been blessed. David went out looking for those blessings. You know, sometimes we might be passive and think, well, you know, I'm going to wait and see if the Lord blesses me. But the Bible says, why don't you go out and look? Just see how much the Lord bless you. Psalm 34, verse 7, the Lord encamps. The angel Lord encamps around all of those who fear Him and delivers Him. Oh, taste and see. You see the word see? Taste and see. Look for it. Look for the blessings of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Look at the end of verse 10 of Psalm 34. Those who seek, you got to be looking, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. David realized how blessed that he was, but he also wanted to understand that I need to, in the midst of trials, go looking for these blessings. Paul did. Paul could have looked at the storm. He could have looked at the circumstance. Yeah, wow, this is really bad, guys. Not looking good. But he took a moment to let them know, God's blessed me. I'm blessed by my God. Final thing I want us to see is down in verse 35. When everything was crashing down around Paul, Acts chapter 27 and verse 35, Paul says, paraphrase, I bow to and bless God. They had been 14 days, verses 33 and 34, they had been 14 days without anything to eat. And finally, in verse 35, when Paul had said these things, he told them to eat something after 14 days. Verse 35, he took bread, and what did he do in verse 35? He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Would you be doing something else? When everything's crashing down around you, can you think of something else you might be doing? Paul gave thanks to God. No matter what troubles are happening in our lives, no matter what difficulties we are going through, we need to be able to say, as Paul did, I still praise my God no matter what is happening around me. Psalm 42, you know verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. But listen to verse 2, Psalm 42 and verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and appear before my God? Oh, everything must be going good for David. He wants to praise God for all the good stuff that's happening to him. No, look in verse 3 of Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. Things are not going well for David. He's been crying day and night. Have you been there? Have you tasted your tears day and night? David says, I've been tasting my tears day and night. And everybody's continually saying to me, where's your God, David? David, your God departed from you. All this bad stuff's happening to you. David, where's your God? And David says in verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. And I want to go to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. And so I say to myself in verse 5, why are you cast down? I don't care what bad stuff is happening. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. If David could be there, if Paul could be there, why can we not be there? Things seem like they're crashing down around us. Does that determine whether I praise my God or not? Even though things might be falling apart, I still have extraordinary reasons to praise my God. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. How many benefits has God given us? Let us not forget a single one. Even in the midst of things crashing down around us, falling apart around us, may God help us to look at the example of Paul, to know that I can still see the blessings of God, to know that I can still praise God in the midst of these challenges, and to know that when I praise God, look in verse 36, final verse, to know that when I praise God, in the midst of all of the bad stuff happening. Look in verse 36 and what happened. After he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all in verse 35, then they were all encouraged. Are there other people going through trials of life who need to be encouraged? What would happen if they saw us when everything is crashing down around us? What would happen if they saw us when everything is crashing down around us and they heard us and they saw us saying, nope, I don't care what's happening around me. I believe God. I belong to God. I busy myself for God. I'm blessed by God. I don't care what the world looks like. I am blessed by God. And I don't care what my circumstances are. They will not determine whether I bow down and bless and praise my God or not. I don't know what's happening in your life. I know we're all facing some of the same trials of life that are around us, and I know in your individual life, you've got your own storms that are happening. Master, the tempest is raging. There's a lot of tempests that are raging around us, things falling apart. But may we not turn our back on our God. Do you belong to God today? Paul says, I belong to God. I have confidence in that. Do you belong to God today? Do you have absolute confidence that you are His? The only way you can have that confidence is to follow what the Bible says, to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died on that cross for our sins, that He was buried, He was raised the third day, that He has ascended, and right now He's at the right hand of God. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Is that faith in your heart leading you to make a decision today? I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. I want to make up my mind to repent, to turn away from the sin that put Jesus on the cross, turn my life in the direction of God. If you're ready to make that decision today, then you can do what they did in the New Testament and confess the faith that is in your heart, and to do what every single person in the New Testament did in order to become a Christian, in order to have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Every single one of them was baptized into Christ. And it was at that moment that they were saved from their sins. Not before. They weren't saved by faith alone. They were saved when they were baptized into Christ. At that moment, the blood of Jesus washed away their sins. At that moment, they were added by the Lord to His church, and He enrolled them in heaven. And the question this morning is, do you belong to God? You don't belong to God until you're baptized into Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, that a disciple is made when they are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into a brand new relationship with God, now belonging to Him. Do you belong to Him? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? If you have, the Lord calls upon us to serve Him faithfully, to do the very best that we can, to live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to Him and in accordance with His will. If you don't belong to Him today, if your relationship with Him today is not where it needs to be, softly and tenderly, He's calling you to get your life right with Him. Why don't you do it right now as together we stand and sing.